Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, a beautiful afternoon for a good game of football now, and it looks as though we have the makings of it.
Barnes has come in. Oh, a fine goal by John Barnes. That's a beauty.
Hello and welcome to the Watford Buzz podcast. After yet another away win for the Hornets, this time 2-1 at Queen's Park Rangers, we're in derby delight. If you can even call it a derby. I mean, a lot of people don't agree with that. I'm joined by Tom Burdell. Jordan is off sick currently. Jordan, get well soon. Tom, is it a derby, Queen's Park Rangers?
I don't know if it's a derby, but it's a rivalry, isn't it? I certainly remember when I was at school, I had a few QPR supporting mates, so it was always one that kind of felt more personal, particularly because at that point, Luton weren't in the same division as us, so you needed someone. You've always got to have someone to dislike and want to get one over, and we hadn't quite got to the point of rivalry with Bournemouth at that stage, or Crystal Palace. It always feels like it's got something extra riding on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know that they consider us as a nearby club that they want to get one over, but we're not their particular rivals either, are we? I think QPR are more rivals with Brentford, is that right? Or?
That's it, Brentford's their main one. They don't really like Chelsea, but often not in the same division as those two either. So it's a marriage of convenience.
I tell you what, if you looked at the little sheets that come out of all the stats after this one, and you didn't know the major stat, the scoreline, you wouldn't have thought it was Watford that had won this one, would you?
No, certainly not. It's one of those ones where you go, well, we've won, and as we just said, it's a rival, and we've done the double over them now, so happy days, thumbs up, move on. But as you scratch beneath the surface, and that's what we're obviously going to do over the duration of this pod, I think there's an aspect of getting away with it a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like that, yeah.
Their XG was 1.67, ours was 0.38. Hardly surprising when you consider the only two shots on target we had were the Jake Livermore goals, and one was an absolute screamer and one was a pretty good finish from a similarly kind of far out position. So, yeah, not surprising they didn't carry a huge amount of value, but I guess the point is that we threw our bodies on the line quite literally on a couple of occasions. I said occasions weirdly there, didn't I? and Ben Hamer made a couple of good saves, and that's becoming a trend. Mm. And we got the job done, which, you know, as we say most weeks now, we wouldn't have done last season or in recent seasons. So it depends if you're a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of person, how you look at that one.
Yeah, getting the job done. And on to the next one. Let's look at Reece Healy, shall we? It was his first league start. A lot of people have been pushing this for a little while. He's had little moments where he's done really well, but not really had enough time for anyone to particularly say, I'm not sure if he could do it or he can do it, or we think he can, but we haven't seen it. This was his opportunity. He's had previous chances in the cup against different types of opposition, playing in different sort of styles. This was the sort of way that we normally play. Reece Healy in, did he perform? Did he merit another start?
Yeah, I don't think he did badly. I think you have to say in the performance and in the team, he didn't get the opportunity to do the thing that you kind of measure strikers on, which is to have chances, have shots, have goals, score goals. Didn't have a single touch in the opponent's box. But I think he did a lot of the other stuff around that quite well. And I guess this is the paradox of our strikers, isn't it? You've got the ones that do the stuff around the box quite well and don't score, and then you've got the one that scores, but as we know, doesn't do all the other stuff particularly well. Reece Healy did quite well in terms of the defensive side, one of four of his five, or was successful in, I should say, four of his five defensive actions, one interception, you know, worked hard from the front, recovered the ball five times, three of those times were in QPR's half, eight of nine passes, so not heavily involved, but, you know, used the ball well when he got it, and obviously played a part in the second goal as well. You know, not a huge part, but it's him that sort of rescues the ball when it's in danger of breaking down over on that left-hand byline, pops it back to Martins, and we obviously know what happens when he gives it to Jake Livermore. So, you know, he did a decent job, and considering this was only his second start in forever since the Cup, and when I think the unilateral feeling was that he was poor against Chesterfield and looked short of match sharpness, obviously went off with two lots of cramp, I don't think he did too badly.
Yeah, he didn't do the important thing, which is score, obviously. That job fell to somebody who, to be honest, no one expected to be pulling out the shots that he did. But my goodness, Jake Livermore, two absolute beauties. Who knew that he had that in him, Tom?
Well, certainly not me. And his last goal was against Bristol City. Certainly it was just sort of on the line. He just kind of bundled it home. So he's scored from considerably further out than we've seen him do before. Don't think he's ever been known as a goal-scoring, chance-creating kind of midfielder. So, yeah, very much out of the blue. But, I mean, the confidence he must have got from scoring the first one, I suspect he doesn't score the second if he doesn't score the first. Hell of a finish for the first one, and the second one wasn't bad either. I think, obviously, as I mentioned a minute ago, those were the only two shots on target we had in the game, and so that's not something you want to repeat, and I don't think you can expect Jake Livermore to be popping up with those often or even again this season. I think he'd have overachieved in that respect. But no, what a pair of goals. And I think, to be honest, there needs to be some recognition for his performance overall. I thought, I'm pretty sure he was named Sky Man of the Match. They usually do just give it to the scorers. But I think if you disregard that, he was really good overall. You know, he did all the things that we've come to expect of him and come to appreciate of him. And I think it wasn't a coincidence that a lot of QPR's best moves and kind of big threat came down the flanks, because they weren't really creating a lot through the middle. Sinclair Armstrong's got a lot of coverage, and he was obviously very dangerous and looks like a prospect. But, you know, his best work was done out wide. Jalen Moore was excellent. And to be honest, he continues a theme of him being excellent. I pulled up his stats this season. He has managed more interceptions than any other midfielder that's categorised as a defensive midfielder, according to Y-Scout. He's third for successful and attempted defensive actions, so that's anything that kind of falls under that category.
Okay.
He's won more loose ball duels than anyone, third for ball recoveries, but even so, amongst defensive midfielders, he's quite progressive as well. Passing fourth amongst all defensive midfielders attempted and completed, third amongst defensive midfielders for final third passes attempted and completed. So, yeah, I don't think you can argue with that and kind of marry that up with the eye test. He's been excellent. And to be honest with you, the sort of redemption arc he's been on, in that he was written off from the word go, I think there's half an argument to say that he could be in the running for the Player of the Season award if he keeps this up between now and the end of the season and someone else doesn't blow him out of the water, come out of nowhere.
Yeah, as far as consistency is concerned, and also just the real leadership that he brings to the team, I think you've got a good argument there, Tom. He could certainly be in the contest. I love it. The way he celebrates as well, he popped that first one away, that fantastic goal that most players on the pitch would be absolutely delighted with. He just sort of shrugged his shoulders like, yep, I do that, yeah.
I loved it. I like to think that's how I'd celebrate if I was a kind of holding midfielder that just banged one in from 20 plus yards. I suspect I wouldn't. I suspect I'd be shirt off, knee slide, giving it the big end to the QPR fans.
I think I would be too.
But it was just a touch of class, really, wasn't it? And, you know, this is a guy who's played a decent amount of Premier League football, was in a few England squads, I think. Certainly been capped by England, even if it's only once. So,
yeah, he was a midfielder around the same time that England had a lot of good midfielders, right? So
definitely,
it was probably quite difficult for him to get into the squad on a consistent run. But he was in there, certainly.
Yeah, and people made a lot of his age when he joined, and he's not winning any awards for kind of being a sexy signing. But this is a guy who has largely been available throughout his career, played a lot of football. Last season was a bit of a fallow year for him in that he only made 10 championship starts, so he's already exceeded that number. But prior to that, 37, okay, year before that he was injured, 15, but 43, 36, 30, you know, this is exactly what you want, really. So no, he's been a great pickup. It's just a shame we got him at 34, because I guess his lifespan at this point as a player, not as a human, isn't as long as we might like.
Yeah. Is there any argument to say that he should be retained for next season, Tom? His contract is running out at the end of this one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you necessarily want him to play every week at 35, because they're clearly already trying to manage his minutes, and that was presumably the reason he came off. Certainly wasn't his performance.
Mm. Was it Schmeier wrong to bring him off? Because it sort of fell apart once he came off, didn't it?
It did, didn't it? And that's kind of, is it a hindsight thing, isn't it? Say, oh, well, we got the benefit of knowing that. But to be honest with you, I know, as having just said, they're trying to manage his minutes, he's someone I would leave on whenever I possibly could. And if we're winning 4-0, great, off you hop. But 2-0 up, away to QPR? No, I'd have left him on, I think, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because he went to a back three, didn't he? And it didn't really solidify the defence, which is what it was meant to do.
Yeah, that's it. I get it, but there is always the counter-argument that you're inviting more pressure on. You know, you sit deeper, you put more men further back, you say, don't go and engage, don't press. So you give them the space to play in front of you, and then they put balls in the box, which is exactly how their goal came about. And they had a few other opportunities off long throws and stuff and putting crosses in. I'd like to think, maybe, if I was a manager, I wouldn't take that approach. But there's a reason so many managers do. Certainly when I used to cover Barnet, guarantee if they were winning a narrow game at home, Martin Allen would bring on another centre-half and they'd sit deep. And every time they got a throw on, they had a long thrower and they try and heft it up the line and buy yards like those, you know, like it was rugby. So I guess that's how you win games. But as supporters, I think we'd always like to see a more front foot approach, wouldn't we?
Yeah. They got the goal back. It was Smith who came on, and he was actually quite devastatingly good once he came on. Put the ball in. It got a bit of a nick, to be honest. It sort of took it into the air, and it was always going to be a difficult one to defend once it was sort of around where it was, and it was put in by was it Dykes who scored?
Yeah, Lyndon Dykes.
Yeah, but then they kept pressing, and to be fair, in a lot of games that I'm sure you've seen and I've seen, Tom, that game ends up as a draw.
Yeah.
Were it not for a fantastic save from Ben Hamer to basically win us the 2 points and you know, take it home with a win. Because, you know, that kind of game had draw written all over it once they moved to the shape they did and they started bombarding us with efforts.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As a QPR fan, you'd come away 16 shots, 7 on target, 56% of the possession, thinking, how the hell do we not win that? You know, we struggled to get out of our own half at times, particularly in the first half. But Ben Hamer, again, excellent save. He made a couple of kind of smart saves where he came charging out and made a block, got down low, you know, in the kind of knees and the studs are flying.
Yeah.
He's been really, really good. And it's not to say that Dan Backman wouldn't have made those saves. But I think he's overachieved against the expectation when you consider he was signed as a non-playing third goalkeeper, and the only time we saw him last season was against Coventry, where he looked ring rusty. But he's playing well, breeds confidence, I think. Certainly appears that way with those in front of him. So he's been excellent, and I think I don't know what his contract situation is. I presume they've only given him a 2-year deal when they signed him, so he probably is deserving of another year on this form.
Yeah, if I was his agent, I'd be going in and saying we need to look at the terms of this, because this is the terms we signed for a backup goalkeeper, and this guy's like winning you games here. I think we could probably squeeze some more money out of you, and I probably wouldn't be against that. But look, I mean, even though he's been doing really well, and it's a bit similar to the Jake Livermore situation, I want them both involved next season, but I don't necessarily want them as starters. I want people, younger guys coming in and replacing them, because you need the next cab up on the rank, don't you? Otherwise you're not gonna go anywhere, because these guys have a lifespan, like you said, and they're basically at the end of it. We can definitely milk a bit more out of them, but you know, it's maybe it's a bit different for Hamer, although he's the top end of the 30s, isn't he? He's 36, is he? So keepers don't tend to go on beyond sort of 38-ish.
Yeah, he's older than I realised, I must admit, yeah.
I've got to say, it makes me feel very happy that the two players on the pitch that did the business for us are my age or a bit older. So I was very happy with that. Makes me think that I can still do it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. He's 36, which kind of passed me by. I think the thing is, in the summer, that with the goalkeeping situation, assuming Dan Backman is still here, there will be a bit of a reset, I suspect. And right, you know, it's a competition now. Number one jersey's up for grabs, go out and earn it. And, you know, everybody starts on even footing. Last season was last season, it's ancient history. And I think that's the right approach to take. Equally, they could get rid of everybody and sign a new number one and say, right, you're the number one, knock yourself out. But I don't think it's a given or even particularly likely that Ben Hamer will start next season as number one.
You need somebody else, don't you, to come in and if you're going to get someone, you might as well go for somebody who's probably to be number one, really.
Yeah.
But that does mean that Backman leaves, doesn't it? Backman doesn't stay around to be a number two, I don't think.
No,
not at this stage of his career. I think Hamer probably does. I think Hamer does.
Yeah, Hamer, I think, would be perfectly happy. Well, not perfectly happy, given he's going to have spent a chunk of this season being number one. But I think it would be an easier sell to him at his age and at this stage of his career than it would be to Backman, who presumably wants to be a number one, wants to play for Austria regularly. And, you know, having been given the number one shirt at long last, made captain, signed the long-term contract, would have expected that. So, yeah, if they're going to make a change there, you would have to assume it would only be with Backman leaving.
Mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, we're talking about this like, you know, like the Potters are going to make signings. I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I'm sure there'll be signings.
Yeah, you think so?
In the summer.
In the summer. Not okay. Now, it's just caveat. In the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's give some more love out there, because it needs to be given. Georgi Chakvatadze, he's had to wait for a little while, hasn't he, to get his chance. But he's been really, really good of late. Let's talk about what he did positively in that game and in general over the last few games, because, you know, he was one of the better players on the pitch for us on Sunday.
Yeah. No, he was very good. I don't know if it's just his running style or the fact that he's quite small, but he always looks like he covers a lot of ground and gets through a lot of work, more than you might expect for someone that we thought was going to be kind of a big part of the puzzle from an attacking point of view, and it hasn't obviously quite worked out like that. But he was successful, I should say, with 12 of 15 defensive actions at QPR, which puts him right up there. And obviously one of those was quite an important intervention when QPR had a chance. It was Sinclair Armstrong, wasn't it, kind of got the better of Ryan Andrews. Hamer blocked and Chakvatadze was the one in there to whack it away, and you wouldn't necessarily associate that with him, especially with someone his size and frame. But he's also, when he gets on the ball, a really good user of the ball, I think, as well. He tries to be positive, he's good in tight spaces. If I stop and close my eyes and think about what he's doing, it's usually kind of taking the ball out of a tight space under pressure. You know, he's got that kind of press resistance. So for someone who we didn't see a vast amount of in the first half of the season, he's really kind of timed his run into the first team well when Kayembe's away and now injured. And Ismail Kone obviously missed out on the start on Sunday because of illness. So yeah, he's been really, really good. And I think ahead of January, you'd have said, what's more likely, him becoming a key part of this team or him leaving and his loan cut short? I think you'd have said the latter. But it's another example of Ismail kind of seemingly, at least, handling a player perfectly and getting the best out of them.
This whole season's been unexpected, hasn't it, Tom?
Mate, everything about this season has been unexpected, hasn't it? I wrote a piece right at the start of the season saying, you know, all this kind of pontificating, predicting, saying we're going to be this, saying we're going to be that. Nobody knows. There's so much change. New head coach. We had Ben Manga at that point. So many players left. Few players in, a lot of whom that were kind of unknowns. So everything about this season has been unexpected. But yeah, if you'd have said Hamer's going to be number one, Chakvetadze, Kone, Kayembe are all going to be really important. Livermore's going to be important. James Morris is going to play a lot of football.
Mm.
I think, you know, all of these things have been a surprise.
Yeah, and Imran Lusa, the man everyone had pegged to be the most important player for us this season, hardly featuring, a bit grumpy on the sidelines, and then shipped off to Lorient on loan without an option as well, to be honest.
Yeah, and that bit was the biggest surprise for me. I don't know how much will change in 6 months. I guess anything is possible.
Well, his stock could rise if he does well there.
He could. But my thinking is that loan to get him in the window, or is that loan to just get him out here and get him playing some football for the time being with a blank slate for the summer? I don't know. It's an interesting one, but I think it says how highly Ismail evidently thinks of the midfield options that we've got, that someone who is in the leadership group, and as you say, we expect it to be kind of one of the most important players, is able to go off on loan. There's no benefit apart from just getting him off the wage bill. So yeah, I'm kind of surprised that there's no option at the very least to make that one happen. But also, it's worth saying Lorient are bottom of Ligue 1. So, you know, he's not going to go into a winning team. Is that a kind of environment that he's going to thrive in? I think we've seen that he is someone who needs it to be going well and to get his own way a little bit to really flourish. So it'll be interesting to see if that works. But I think it's probably for the best that he's elsewhere for a little while.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I hope he has a good time out there. I hope he does well. I hope he starts enjoying his football when he comes back and that it works out for him. But you'd think if Ishmael's still in charge that there might still be that confrontation, and it doesn't look like Ishmael's going anywhere, does it? So, you know.
Not unless something really bad happens in the remainder of the season. No, exactly. And that's why I think, you know, is it about just getting him out from under Ishmael's feet almost? Because there clearly something has gone on there, hasn't it? I don't think it's purely performance levels.
With him gone, with Kayembe injured currently, not known when his return date is, unfortunate for him, on a side note, that he didn't manage to compete in the Africa Cup of Nations. I'm sure he was really looking forward to that. But good to have him back in the building at least. But not able to play. That's us with two midfielders down. Do we need to look to add at least bringing in a lone player to help us, you know, in the interim, Tom?
Yeah, I would be tempted, because you've now got a little bit of lightness there, I think, haven't you? If we say it's Livermore, Kone, Chatfatadze, Tom Delibashiru, that's it. And then when Kayembe's back, five. I think when we consider we'd ordinarily play three, I would like one more in there if we say that Sierra Alta is a kind of emergency option.
Yeah.
It's not the highest priority unless we can get somebody who's going to come in and start every week and kind of push someone else down the pecking order. But I do feel like we're a tad light in there. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What sort of, would you like a replacement for what Loser brings? Like a number six, basically?
Yeah. It's funny because on the face of it, you would say that. But I think the guys that we've got are all kind of in that, vaguely in that brand, at least that bracket, at least, of being quite energetic kind of number eights. It's still that base of midfield, break the play up, control the play, player like Jake Livermore that I think we need. So someone that could do that job would be my preference in terms of a role.
Okay. Possibly the lad at Udinese currently, or do you think that won't happen?
Well, is this Kamara?
Kamara, yeah.
Yeah, I must admit, I've not seen him play, but by all accounts, he was very, very good last season, wasn't he, for Huddersfield? Mm. You do wonder if that would be one, and probably loan him in so we're not committing to another contract permanently while Loser's away. So, yeah, that could probably make a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Continuing with the outgoings, Milesarjevic has been linked with a move to Ipswich Town. A move that was met with a lot of Watford fans as a kind of, oh, please don't take him. Please don't take him, Mr. Ipswich.
Me included.
It was, I don't know, a bit peculiar though, isn't it? Because we're quite light in the attacking area at the moment. And, I mean, do we really want to lose someone who, even though we all know he's not the player that we wanted, he is still picking up goals, and sometimes it's hard to find a striker that can do that. So is it the right call to be pleased about this link?
My thinking is that unless one moves out, then one isn't going to come in. We've got three strikers, him, Healy and Vakumbayo. So if we move him out, then there might be a chance we bring someone in. Because even playing one up front, I think you need three in the squad. So that's my thinking. I'm not going to be unhappy if he stays, though. You know, it's not a case of, God, get him out, get him out, get him out. But his stock is never, or is unlikely to ever be this high or higher again, I think, isn't it? When you look at his goal ratio and whatnot. So, yeah, it's a funny one. Also, think if the story's out there, and I think it was a fairly reliable source, wasn't it? Was it one of the guys from the Telegraph who often gets Watford's story? I'm really struggling to think of his name, but it will come to me. You know, if it's out there and there's some credibility to it, then it's probably because there's interest. And there's probably, if there's interest, it's probably because we might entertain it. So yeah, I don't have a strongly entrenched view either way, but if the money's right, I've always said that our best bet is to sell him to Saudi Arabia and reinvest it in a striker who can do a bit more. So this is the next best thing.
Do you think it's surprising that Ipswich are interested?
Yeah, definitely, because if you'd watched him, I don't know what you would see apart from the goal return that would make you think, yes, we need to spend, you know, seven figures on him. We paid 1 million-ish, maybe a touch more, didn't we? You know, we're going to want to get that back at the very least, if not make a profit. And Ipswich have got a few quid, not kind of crazy money, but they do spend money on the right sort of player. They spent a million or so on George Hurst before he got injured, didn't he? And that's the reason they're looking for another striker, because he's out long term. So they want obviously a very particular striker, and I guess
they're looking at Sam Gallagher, aren't they?
Yeah, that's it. Who's another quite tall striker. But yeah, I'm a little bit surprised, I must have missed that. Kind of came out of the blue.
Okay then, how about some incomings? There's not been a lot of noise, and Gianluca Nanni actually revealed in the Watford Observer article that they're not looking to do too much business in January, Watford. You can't call it a new signing. Well, you absolutely can't call it a new signing, but it's going to feel like one, because Kwadwo Barah has returned to Watford, albeit with an injury, much like the way that every Watford player returning to us at the moment is coming in. But he was doing very well with Burton when he was there. They really enjoyed watching him, and he might be able to help us this season.
Yeah, I don't know if he will.
No, you don't think so?
Well, only because the wording of the Burton Albion statement says the injured player will now return to his club, and, you know, it's a mutual agreement to end it early. He played fairly regularly, hadn't he? Which makes me think that if he is coming back and they agree to it, having played early, but he's injured, that he's not going to be available anytime soon. Don't know that. I don't know what the injury is.
Hamstring is the injury.
Hamstring, right, yeah. Okay. But, you know, 20 appearances, 14 starts, 1,200 minutes. You know, it's not like he's gone there on a season-long loan, barely kicked the ball, and they've said, oh, yeah, have him back so we can park him elsewhere. So, yeah, I just wonder if that's an injury that it's just a case of getting him back in our system, under our care, day to day, and he'll be good to go for next season. Could be wrong, but that's just my reading between the lines.
Okay, fair enough. Bristol City up next then. They absolutely smashed us last time we met on Boxing Day. A bit of revenge is what we would like, but we may get more of the same again. They seem to really have our number when we met them. What are you think we can expect
well,
from Bristol?
Yeah, they've not won in four since, one of those in the cup, and they've only scored once in that time, so maybe they used up all their goals against us. I think they're a decent side, and Liam Banning is kind of getting his fingerprints on things and making his mark on things. I see they've loaned out Andy Wyman this month, who, obviously as well as being an ex-Watford player, played a lot for them prior to this kind of period, scored a lot of goals, was captain, I think, at one point. So, you know, I think that's a case of Liam Manning kind of stamping his mark on things and kind of doing what he wants to do. But look, they're still kind of mid-table at the end of the day. They're not some superpower just because they beat us. I think that's a bit of a freak result in the scheme of things. Most of their wins are by the odd goal, or have been by the odd goal. And you know, that little run of three wins in December was a bit of an outlier, because it's been sandwiched by four-game winless runs. They play tomorrow night in the FA Cup against West Ham at home. So that conceivably is another game without a win. But they looked good against us. Whether that was because we made them look good or not, I don't know. Certainly since Liam Manning's come in, I think they've improved in kind of quite a few areas. But in that time, their XG is only good enough for 16th. Their post-shot XG, XG conceded is good enough for 8th. So, you know, defensive improvements, but obviously need to score more goals. So, yeah, I think given our away form, which is very impressive, and we have now won as many games this season on the road as we did in the whole of last season, and only Southampton are on a longer unbeaten away streak than us. Okay. We're on 5 games, they're on 9. We should go there with confidence.
Nice. We're currently a point away from the playoffs at the moment, battling with the likes of Sunderland, Coventry and Hull City over there as well, and so are Middlesbrough. But we're there or thereabouts at the minute. It's a good run that we're managing to keep up. It's a difficult run of fixtures, though, coming up for us. Southampton in the FA Cup. We then have a pretty reasonable one against Sheffield Wednesday. But then it's they've improved.
You know, they're a lot better than they were when we beat them right at the start of our improved run, aren't they? You know, they've won three of their last four. They bopped Cardiff in the FA Cup, beat Preston, beat Hull. You know, they're not going to roll over in the way they did previously. Cardiff are kind of against all expectations, massively kind of improved on the start of the season, and they're in that little clutch of teams, only a few points outside the playoffs now. So yeah, it's definitely, it's not an easy run. And then obviously in the midst of all that, we've then got Leicester at home, so they're down a few players because of AFCON, aren't they? And I see that Enzo Maresca said this week, I think it was, that they can't really do any business this month to replace them, so maybe it's a good time to be playing them, depending on how far those guys are AFCON the go, how deep they go in the tournament.
Yeah, good point. Okay then, I think that's us pretty much done for this week. We'll be back after the Bristol City game to discuss that one. Tom, any last thoughts?
No, only that I wish Jordan the best and hope that he is back on the pod soon so that I can be lazy.
Yeah, we all miss him. He'll be back soon. All right then, thanks very much for listening. Weather Watford Bod, you can find us on Twitter. You can give us a review. If you haven't done so, please do, because it really helps other people find us. The way you do that is just go to Apple Podcasts, go down to the bottom and just give us a review out of five and leave a little something as well. We can read it out on the pod and tell everyone your name and your thoughts on how we do. All right then, we'll see you next time. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.